Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
So let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, Mr. Dorsey Hager, who is the executive director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org, Twitter handle BuildCentralOH. And boy, are they building in Central OH. Big news. I'm sure many of our listeners have heard about it. In fact, they're popping up in various parts of the country. I'm talking about Intel, the giant semiconductor company, moving to Central Ohio. Not moving, but building in Central Ohio. Dorsey Hager, you've got to be pretty darn excited about this.
Absolutely. This is huge news, not just for the Columbus building trade and the city of Columbus and the region, but also for the state building trades as well. You know, last fall, early winter, you know, we belong to One Columbus, the economic development arm here of Jobs Ohio in Columbus, Central Ohio. And last winter, myself and one of our agents, Rodney French, was having dinner. We just thought it was a get together just to, you know, kind of a chill out. Also kind of like a congratulations on Amgen, because that was a huge pharmaceutical project that we landed last year. And we were having dinner, and one of the gentlemen with us was getting up and answering the phone and coming back and answering the phone. A nice guy I've known for a long time, really good friend of mine. And at the end of the meeting, Rodney French and I were like, man, they're like asking us a lot of questions about manpower, workforce development, contractors, apprenticeship readiness, our apprenticeship programs, diversity, all that stuff, right? And we're like, you know, we've already landed the Amgen project. Like, where is this coming from, right? And and at the end of the dinner, you know, they basically said, hey, you know, we can't get into it now, but we're hoping that here around the holidays, there's going to be a rather large announcement about a huge project coming to Columbus and Central Ohio that's obviously going to be the largest project ever to come to the state of Ohio. And with the Intel announcement, boy, were they right.
You know, Governor DeWine, he right away said this was a great day when the announcement came down, and he place the development in the same lineage of the Wright brothers, Thomas Edison, and Neil Armstrong. I mean, that's pretty good company for an announcement like this. And when it comes to job creation, I mean, lots of jobs. Let's talk about construction jobs. I'm reading 7,000. Is that pretty much what you're hearing in Central Ohio?
Yeah, so the Intel project, and obviously I'm still gathering a lot of data and a lot of information. I was at the National Building Trades Conference last week, and I was talking to, you know, obviously, you know, Sean McGarvey, who was there, and we were talking about this project, and we were talking about projects around the country in Austin and in Scottsdale, where some of these other projects were going on, and the economic impact that they had. Also in Portland, Oregon, the head of the building trades in Portland is a good friend of mine, and we had a couple of drinks and kind of discussed what's going on out there, and that's where Intel's world headquarters are. But, you know, a lot of this information is coming out. I'm trying to put it together and kind of understand. But from my understanding, everybody I talked to, I was out of town last week at a conference. Mike Nisley and I changed our flights. We got back. We went to the announcement in person at the Strand Theater in Newark on Friday. We talked to people from Jobs, Ohio. We talked to people from One Columbus. Obviously, we got to talk to the governor, the lieutenant governor. The lieutenant governor called me the night before to make sure that I was going to be there, and obviously I said I was. But the first phase is going to be basically we're looking at two fab with a total cost of right around $20 billion. They want to start pushing dirt in July. They would like to break ground before the end of the year. And then they would like to have these two fabs up and operational and creating microchips, manufacturing microchips, sometime in 2025. So the 7,000 construction jobs is accurate. The good thing about it is the peak is going to be about 3,500. So there'll be 7,000 construction workers throughout the project. At the peak of the project, we'll have like 3,500. So that's a good thing. It sits on about 3,200 acres. You know, I went out and checked out the site last week. It's about 2 by 3 miles. So when you drive, you know, by a cornfield that's 6 square miles, and you think, oh my gosh, in 4 years they're going to be creating computer chips here. It's rather, you know, it's kind of crazy, really, to think about that. So we also had some discussion, you know, about the CHIPS Act. Obviously, that came out of the Senate. That was fine. It's now in the in the Congress. The CHIPS Act passes, there'll be additional infrastructure money for more of these facilities. And if that passes and comes out of Congress, the infrastructure money and the funding for that will go to help creating more and more of these microchips here in the United States, then there'll be additional phases out there, which will take this from like a 5 to 7 year project at $20 billion to more like a 15 to 17 year project at $100 billion. They all purchase for other companies and supply, you know, the help of the supply chain with the making and manufacturing of the microchip that may have to either move from different parts of Ohio to be down there to be closer or relocate elsewhere to come down there. So I would say the economic impact of the total project, you know, we haven't even talked about infrastructure with roads, bridges, additional lanes of highway out there and stuff, places for people and these employees to live. I'd say the economic impact is probably going to be about $300
billion. $300
billion.
My gosh, yeah, that is phenomenal.
You're probably looking at $100 to $125 billion just in construction.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into the nitty-gritty here. 7,000 jobs, you said a peak would be about 3,500 at one time. Where are we with that in ramping up? You know what's going on in America. You know, hopefully this pandemic will come to an end. It may take a while yet. I don't know. But I know your apprenticeship programs are doing pretty well, but you probably have some figures in mind of how many workers you can crank out to make this thing work as smoothly as possible. Or I don't know, maybe we're too premature right now, but you got to be thinking about that, right?
We've been thinking, I mean, obviously we didn't envision this project coming, but for the last 3 to 5 years, we've been thinking about this. A lot of our managers, agents, organizers, reps, training directors have been pretty forward thinking. Since I came aboard 8 years ago, we've all been working together to try to see how we can improve our apprenticeship programs, but also create the Building Futures model and pre-apprenticeship to get more people from economically disadvantaged backgrounds who maybe haven't had a chance or known about the building trades to get in these programs. We're doing that. So last year, a little over a year ago, we put on somebody, Kelly Harrop, who runs the day-to-day administration of Building Futures and Driving Futures. I sat down with her a couple of times this week, and it was just basically, you know, kind of a brainstorming session. What can we do to make sure that we come up with this 3,500 to 7,000 people that we're going to need on this project? You know, we talked about middle school, high school, trade school outreach. You know, one of our agents said, well, you're going to go into middle schools and you're going to talk about this? And I'm like, absolutely. I'm like, a kid that's 12 or 13 that's in middle school, when this project's complete, he's going to be 30, 32 years old. He could work on this project. It's not just the immediate need. We got to get down to the middle schools and the high schools and the trade schools. We got to let these guidance counselors, principals, and these parents know that, hey, if you have a son or daughter that doesn't want to go to college or can't afford to go to college, you need to have them taking the math and sciences that they need, and you need to have them contacting me their senior year, so that way when they graduate, I can point them in the direction of an apprenticeship or a pre-apprenticeship program so they can work on some of these jobs. We've discussed doing additional Building Futures cohorts, obviously, which gets more and more people prepared, more and more people in the pipeline. We've already worked with our marketing group, BMA. We've talked to them about establishing electronic applications for our Building Futures program so we can expedite the process, but also a database to capture info for people who maybe don't want to or don't need to go into a pre-apprenticeship program but can step right into an apprenticeship program. We're also working with our organizers, our agents, to develop a database, people who are working non-union or open shop, so that way we can collect their information. So if the IBEW or if the UA or if the sheet metals have a call for people, we can immediately contact them via email or text and let them know that there's immediate job opportunities open. And, you know, I was discussing this with one of our organizers this morning. This organizing that we're going to be doing now is going to be totally different. Back in the day when I was a business manager and I helped our organizers organize for the insulators, you'd go out and talk to a non-union employee and say, here are the wages, here are the benefits. And usually the first question is, well, how much work do you have available for me? And our answer was, well, this school has 3 months left. This office building has 2 months left. Now we can say, here's intel. This is a 17-year project, and this is one project. That doesn't include Amazon, Google, Facebook, OSU Medical Center, you know, which are also some pretty, you know, large scale projects as well. So the work is there. The opportunity is there. We're going to be doing everything we can to make sure that we continue to add to our programs, our apprenticeships, our pre-apprenticeships, and our unions. And we make sure that we get our contractors the people that they need, and also our customers the people they need to build these jobs on time, under budget, safely. And that's what we do. And we're up to the challenge, and we're going to accept the challenge, and we're going to shine. I know we're going to do well.
Oh, I know you will. Dorsey, you got a feel pretty good about being part of this conversation. I recall the last time you and I spoke here on the show, you were getting some information that there was a good possibility that Intel was going to do this. And now here, that day has come, and you're in the mix of that whole thing. I'm just wondering, with what you just said, Facebook, Google, Amazon, you got Ohio State, the medical. I mean, there's so much going on in Central Ohio that seems to me that is kind of why Intel decided to locate there. And the other part of it, too, I guess they're annexing some of the suburbs and communities over there. There's a lot of land. You need a lot of water for chip making. So it seems like everything kind of fell together on this one, right?
Yeah, I think that One Columbus here and the partnership working together with Jobs Ohio really put forth a great proposal that our friends were able to take, you know, the governor and lieutenant governor, working closely with Mike Nisley and Matt Salazzi at Act Ohio and the Ohio State Building Trades. And then here on the local level, you know, Kenny McDonald and Jeff Polasowski and Alex Fisher working in partnership with us, you know, on the manpower maps, on the need for people, where we're going to get people, the programs. You know I say this all the time on your show, but when customers or contractors come from out of town, there's two questions they ask. Do you have the people to build it? And do you and can you get the people that accurately reflect the community in which we're working in, which means diversity? And we're doing both of those things. And I think we're proving to them that we're doing these things. And I think you're absolutely right. I think that's why an Intel, an Amgen, of Facebook is coming to Columbus. It's the land, it's the infrastructure, and it's the work that we're doing with them. And, you know, let's not forget, I just left a meeting with a good friend of mine that was a former state rep, Cheryl Grossman, here in Central Ohio out of the Grove City area. And she said this, and I thought about it at the announcement last week. You know, two senators that are probably as pro-labor on the Republican side as you get, Stephanie Coonsey here in Central Ohio and Bob Peterson in Southwest Ohio, they passed a bill out of the Senate that the House passed as well and the governor signed, which gives the opportunity to go out and get some of this land and be able to work with these local communities to be able to attract some of these mega projects. You know, a lot of times these things would be stalled or slowed down or would take years to do. And when you have an Intel that wants to come to town and they've got a checkbook, you know, exceeding $20 billion, upwards of $100 billion, you know, they don't want to hear, can we get back to you? They want answers right away. And this is pretty much how this happened.
Well, it's certainly good when all sides come together, no matter what party affiliation they are. And it's for the common good. And this is certainly the common good. Pathway to the middle class, like you say, so many great jobs, altogether about 7,000. And once they get this going, more money's going to come in with federal money, and then they'll expand it from that point on. And I want to salute Intel here. It's not too often that I salute corporations, but you got to hand it to them. And they learned, we all learned from this pandemic. They had a huge, and they still do, they had a huge operation in China. We talk so much on this show about the jobs, good jobs that were in America that moved overseas because of cheap labor. Those jobs are coming back. And Intel is a great example. And Dorsey, I saw in the announcement too, they're spread around the country. I see other facilities. I believe in Texas there's a presence, Arizona, New York State, and there are other semiconductor companies that are actually competing now on this, which is all good, because we need those chips. We need those semiconductor chips. But you wanted to talk about One Columbus, because it's good to hear the story of what happened behind the scenes. And, you know, one good thing just leads to another. So talk to me about that part, Dorsey. Go ahead.
Well, one of the, yeah, I mean, when I first took this job, and then, you know, our board was pretty new as well. You know, some of the things that we outlined to work on, and basically the position that I'm in, no matter if you're dealing with contractors, customers, end users, elected staffers or whatever, it's all about building and establishing relationships and then maintaining them. And one of the things that we talked about was getting involved with One Columbus. At the time, it was called Columbus 2020, and sitting down with the Kenny McDonalds, the Alex Fishers, the Jeff Polasowskis, who I've known Jeff for a long time, way back since he worked in the Kasich administration. And then Chip Holcomb, who was a dear friend of Gary Schaefer, who used to be the head of the Ohio State Building Trades, and just let them know that, you know, the unions aren't the adversaries. The unions and the building trade union, you know, have a skilled workforce, a workforce development program, second to none, and that we can help you when it goes to making these proposals, landing these customers, and getting them to come here and build. And I think that they, you know, they understand that totally, and it's been great working with them, and we've been very successful with that partnership. But Rodney French and I, the business manager from the Sheet Metal Colorado workers. We went to the construction update last week, and it's just a quarterly breakfast meeting. You know, a little bit of reconnecting, and they go through some things. And obviously, Intel is going to be a game changer. But even without Intel, for the first quarter of 22, One Columbus, bringing to the Columbus region, you know, is looking at 22 either new projects or expansion, creating about 5,100 jobs and a little bit over $20 billion in investment, with a total payroll created of about $589 million. So the work that they're doing in the community is great. The construction industry is obviously benefiting on that. And the one interesting thing about that meeting too, and Rodney saw this when he was with me firsthand, you know, when a Kevin Machinsky from Steel Bain or a Kyle Rooney or a Brian Mooney from Turner come over, we really have to keep those relationships, because it's funny how some of these contractors or some of these general contractors are coming over and saying, hey, Intel's great, but remember, we're building this $2 billion hospital. Don't forget about us. We're building this $325 million Short North Tower. Don't forget about us. And it's just the work that's coming to Central Ohio that's being created and added on is just an amazing opportunity. It really gives the building trades a leg up, be able to go into these communities and do some workforce development and put these kids and these young adults on a path to the middle class.
Dorsey, you again are in the middle of all of this in Central Ohio, and if you would be so kind, we want to start the ball rolling now on this, because there's a lot of stakeholders. You dropped a lot of names. I'd like to get some of these people on the show, as many as possible, and I'm talking about every trade, because every trade is going to benefit on this. Every darn trade. And this
Absolutely.
Is going to be, yeah, this is going to be a very complex project too. But think about a semiconductor. This is not a General Motors or a Ford factory. This is a little bit different. This is a lot different. This is very high tech. I mean, I saw some of the pictures, and the people that work there, they've got like laboratory suits on. I mean, it's amazing. It's all clean. It's a whole different ball game down there. The other thing I want to get into is the high schools. You kind of touched on this in the first segment, because I'm thinking this may change the mindset of a lot of counselors. And Dorsey, you know, those counselors are saying, you know what, you got to go to college. And a lot of parents are saying, you know, go to college, become a doctor or a lawyer. You've heard that so many, many times. And sometimes it doesn't work out. Oftentimes it doesn't work out. And then they eventually find their way to the trades. And that will get them into the middle class, the pathway to the middle class. There we go again. But I'm just wondering, this has to change the dynamics of those counselors at schools. And I'm sure you're going to be going into those schools. Can you help us out on that? I'd like to get some of these people on the show to talk about the future in Central Ohio. What do you think?
Absolutely. And we talked about a lot of reasons why Intel picked Central Ohio. And I think one of the biggest reasons why they picked Ohio, Central Ohio also, is the Ohio State University. And right out near their campus in New Albany, Ohio State has a branch campus, OSU Newark. And Intel is going to invest in Ohio State University $100 million. To set up a degree program so that kids can go to OSU Newark. When they graduate, they can go right to Intel as manufacturers and engineers, where the average salary is going to be $125,000 a year. So you think about what that's going to do to the Licking County, Eastern Franklin County, Muskingum County region. That's going to really change a lot of lives and really help that whole area there with all this tech that is coming there. It's going to be incredible. So yeah, I think you are going to see a lot of guidance counselors, a lot of parents that their minds, you know, are going to start to open up and are going to start to change, and that they're going to realize that, one, the face of manufacturing in Ohio has changed. It's no longer old coal plants and steel mills. It's going to be tech. It's going to be manufacturing. It's going to be electric cars. And two, if you want to build and maintain these places, the opportunities are there to get that skill debt-free and training and get in a good position where you're going to make a good middle-class income with a great benefit package so you can take care of your family and retire with dignity and respect.
It's actually going to give parents a couple of choices here. You're going to say, okay, you want to go to the trades, you can go to the trades. But then again, if you want to go to college, then you'll have a job at Intel when this thing is done. So, I mean, there's so many different opportunities here. It's the sky's the limit. The sky is the limit. Dorsey, do you realize you're not going to be retiring for a while? You know that. I know that's not on your plate right away, but this is going to keep you occupied. You know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I look at some of our guys that are younger managers, agents, organizers, representatives, early and mid-30s, and I told one of them the other day, I said, I said, this project, when you're thinking about retirement or looking at retirement, this project's still going to be going on. You're going to be filling calls to finish this project and also to maintain this project. This is something that's going to be a legacy project here for a long time to come.
So again, just to go over this, you're talking about moving some dirt around July and then breaking ground perhaps by the end of the year with completion of 2025. Did I get that correct?
Yeah, they would like to be manufacturing chips in 2025. And I know that they're already doing some outreach here in Columbus and Central Ohio to hire people who can work in their plant and start them right away. So that way they can go to Scottsdale, they can go to Austin, get the training and skill set that they need the next couple of years. So when this plant is up and operational, those people can return back home to Ohio and put their feet on the ground and start working manufacturing chips here in Columbus and Central Ohio.
All right. We're going to leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, Executive Director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, where it's all happened, been happening there for a number of years. And the website is columbusconstruction.org. And you can follow them on Twitter, BuildCentralOH. You take care, my brother. I'm sure we'll have some more information next time we chat, okay?
Absolutely. And just think, hopefully, when we chat in March, there's labor peace and we're talking about spring training and Cleveland baseball.
I hope so, too. We could use that in baseball, no doubt about that, since the Brown season didn't pan out the way it was supposed to be. But we got a good basketball team, so let's salute them, the Cleveland Cavaliers. All right, my friend. You take care. Stay safe, and we'll talk in a month, all right?
All right. Thank you. Bye.